The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 9th, 2018. The title of the message is Hebrews as an Exposition of Leviticus. Scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, chapter 2, verses 10 and 17, chapter 4, verse 15, and chapter 10, verses 5 through 10.
We come to you not by ourselves. Oh, thank you for the providing of your precious blood,
Amen.
A new and living way.
Amen.
We all can come forward
Amen.
To the throne of grace
Amen.
To receive mercy
right.
and find grace for a timely help.
Yes.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Amen. Since this past week, we covered the message 3 in our crystallization study of Leviticus, the second part. The title is Hebrews as an Exposition of Leviticus. It's still on Leviticus, but we are covering from the angle of the book of Hebrews.
Right.
I enjoy very much. I'll share what I enjoy, and then everyone can share your portion.
Right.
In the book of Hebrews and also in Leviticus, both started with God speaking.
Yeah.
In Leviticus, we see that it's after the book of Exodus, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and then brought them to the mountain of God, and there he gave them the Ten Commandments, and also asked them to build him a tabernacle.
Amen.
And when the tabernacle was built, then God spoke. Before God spoke from heaven, he came down to Mount Sinai and spoke to Moses. But now, God has the dwelling place.
Amen.
And God starts speaking out of the tent of meeting.
Amen.
So we see this is in Hebrews chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1.
Right.
So it's very precious that God has a place that he can speak. Even this morning, when we are gathering together, God is also speaking through all of us.
Right.
Because in Hebrews, it also mentioned God speaking. In Hebrews, it mentioned God speaking, God having spoken of old in many portions and many parts to the fathers in the Son, has at the last of these days spoke to us in Son, in the Son. And this Son is not just the individual Son, the Lord Jesus, but it's also the corporate Son, the corporate Sonship. So our God is a speaking God.
Amen.
It's really precious. And God desires all of us also learning to speak.
Yeah.
Speak for him. I still remember when I had my first child. And sometimes I had to spend time and take care of her.
Yeah.
And I will read my word and speak to her. And of course, in the beginning, there was no response. But later on, I found out, sometimes she will smile. Then I will say, "Did you understand?" Of course, she doesn't understand. But she will look at her, with a smile, seemingly she understands. I think sometimes the Lord speaks to us is the same, The Lord wants to speak all of us, and the Lord wants us to respond to him.
Amen.
So we have a book, is Everyone Speaks the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we all need to learn to speak, because our God is a speaking God.
Amen.
In the book of Leviticus, when the Lord starts speaking, it's very helpful that through the ministry we see that God speaking is to train us. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt. But now, God has brought them out. And God has made them his people. And God starts through speaking to train them. So they can live a holy life, they can live a clean life, and they can live a rejoicing life. So today, I feel the Lord is still the same. We are his people in the New Testament. And the Lord is speaking to us, and while he is speaking, he is training us.
Right.
He is training us. So this manner of speaking is very precious to me when we are getting into the book of Hebrews and to see the book of Leviticus. In fact, you know, recently we are finished going over, not completely, there was a book we covered. That is the fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in the writings of John. And that book also started with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. So we see, you know, God just loves to speak. Our God, even He Himself, is the Word, you know. And I think in Revelation 19, He mentioned the Lord, when He comes back, His name will be the Word of God. So we see very much that today our God is a speaking God. And His Word, His speaking, are very rich. So this is one matter I enjoy very much in the both in Leviticus and also in Hebrews. So our God, not only His name is the Word of God, He's the written Word. In the beginning was the Word. That beginning was not the beginning in Genesis. Genesis was the beginning of creation. That is when time started. But in John, the book of John, in the beginning was the Word. That beginning was from eternity past. So God is the Lord Jesus is the eternal Word. And the Lord Jesus is also the written Word. You know, later on we'll see in the book of Hebrews, it mentioned the Lord Jesus, you know, there it mentioned in the scroll or in the roll of the Old Testament, it was written concerning the Lord Jesus. So He is the eternal Word, He is the written Word, and He is the living Word. Because He is the Word, and He is the living one. And also He is the speaking Word. So our God is just a speaking God. Amen. And He wants to make all of us also speak. Not speak our own words, but rather speak for Him. That He may have, He may speak through us. So in Leviticus, in chapter 1, He mentioned that the Lord speaking from the tent of meeting to Moses. Let me just get to that. Chapter 1, verse 1. He mentioned, then Jehovah called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you presents an offering to Jehovah, I won't finish the sentence, but the verses there mention the Lord was speaking, called to Moses and speak to Moses, and then through him to speak to the children of Israel. And this is exactly what Hebrews is about. Hebrews start with God having spoken of old in many portions and in many parts through or in the prophets. Moses was a prophet to the children of Israel, to his people. So it was indirect. But God today, He wants to speak to us direct. Amen. You know, even last night, Friday night, there was a gospel meeting, and some of the new ones, they just spoke to the Lord, and they received the Lord. So today, we can have God's direct speaking, and we can also can speak to the Lord in a direct way. So this is very, very precious. I enjoyed this message that both the book of Leviticus and also the book of Hebrews, both books emphasize on the person of Christ. Leviticus is speaking concerning Christ. He is everything in the fellowship and service and life of God's redeemed. You know, this title is tremendous because Leviticus in chapter 1 through chapter 7 was on the matter of offerings, sacrifices. We see all the five basic offerings. Then in chapter 8 through 10, it was concerning the priesthood. We just covered the consecration of the priests. Then the rest of the book of Leviticus, from chapter 11 to chapter 27, was concerning the living of God's people. And in all this, Christ is the center. Christ is the center. So I really treasure that we can have such a title, such a subject for the book of Leviticus. If I give a title, I will mention about the offerings, I will mention about the priests, other details. But this simple title just focus all of us on Christ, on Christ. And the Hebrews is the same. Hebrews gave us the title that Christ, he is the, of course, Hebrew has his background, that it was written to the believing Jews, and mentioned, mostly it was written by Paul. Paul was trying to help the believers, the Jewish believers, to know that Christ, he is superior to Judaism with everything related to it. Of course, Judaism has the law, and the Judaism has angels. Judaism has Moses. Judaism has Aaron. And Judaism has the Old Covenant. But Christ is superior. And Christ's new covenant, consummated by him, is superior to the Old Covenant. This is very, very precious. And this time when we cover message 3 in the training, he especially mentioned there are many riches in the book of Hebrews. And of course, in Leviticus, we see all the details concerning the offerings. Before, when I read Leviticus, I don't know about you, it was very, I prefer Exodus rather than Leviticus with all the offerings, all the details. But if we know that Leviticus is concerning Christ, then all the details, all the fine points, they all are description of Christ. Then it's very, very rich. So I think this book, through the training, has been really open to us. In the training, it especially mentioned Christ is in Leviticus, of course, it's all in types. All the offerings, they are animals, you know, ox, or lamb, or turtle doves, you know, all these are types, or pictures. So they are figures pointing to something more than just physical things. But in the New Testament, we have the clear word. So just read Leviticus, we may not get that clear unless, you know, when the word is opened up, then we will appreciate that Leviticus is so rich, you know. It provides Christ, you know, he as the burnt offering in a very detailed way, how Christ was God's satisfaction, how Christ, then he takes care of the sins of the people. That's why when John came, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That shows us, in fact, all the types are pointing to one living person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all the types. So I really appreciate that both the book of Leviticus gave us the types and also the Hebrews. Without the book of Hebrews, we may know the details and the fine points concerning Christ, but we don't see this Christ in the full view. That's why in the training you mentioned there were at least 14 points in the book of Hebrews revealed to us. You know, especially the first three verses in the book of Hebrews gave us the description that that Christ is not only the speaking one, and he also, you know, from verse 3. Maybe you can read verse 3 together. Who being the effulgence of his glory and the impress of his substance, and upholding and bearing all things by the word of his power, having made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Just by this one verse, very short, but it includes so much, because it shows that Christ, he's in the Godhead, he's the effulgence of God's glory. Amen. And he's also the impress of God's substance. So, you know, we sent some of the hymns, and the hymns also revealed to us Christ in all things came into being through him. In fact, the whole creation was created in him, yes, through him, yes, and unto him. So in the past, he created all things, and now he is the word of power, upholding all things. Amen. We know the earth is not supporting by any pillars. It's in the air. How does it work, right? It doesn't fall down, it doesn't go up, it doesn't, you know, move around in its own way, randomly. So there was the word of his power. So he is upholding all things by the word of his power. And also, Christ, he is the heir of all things. Amen. Not only he created all things, and he is upholding, bearing all things, but one day he will be inheriting all things. So this Christ in Hebrews, we see, you know, in a scope that is vast. So he is the all-inclusive Christ. He is also the inexhaustible Christ. Then he mentioned about he made purification of sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So in his work, he not only created, he also made purification of sins. In Hebrews, he also mentioned that he offered himself once for all. And he, through his own blood, he entered, not like the high priest. The high priest entered into the Holy of Holies on the earth. But rather, he entered into the real, the tabernacle, not made by hand. He entered into the Holy of Holies, and he obtained an eternal redemption. Amen. This is that's why the Lord's redemption is so effective, that today we can experience and enjoy day by day. Okay, my real burden is on Hebrews chapter 10. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, we read some of the verses. In Hebrews, it mentioned the law coming into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. That means God did not desire. You know, in the past, when I read this verse, I said to myself, God in Leviticus asked the children of Israel to offer the sacrifices. But now here, suddenly he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. So I got lost. So did God want the sacrifices and offerings, or he doesn't want it? I don't know about you. I had this question in my mind. But eventually I realized I didn't read it carefully. Because if you read carefully, therefore, coming into the world, he says. So this word is not referring when God gave the book of book of Leviticus, telling the children of Israel to offer the sacrifices and offerings, and then suddenly he changed his mind. He said, you know, I don't want the sacrifices and the offerings. But rather, it refers to when the Lord Jesus came into the world. Then he says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but the body you have prepared for me. If you check this verse is not just in Hebrews. This first verse originated from Hebrews, from Psalms. In Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8, it already mentioned this portion of the word in Hebrews chapter 10. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 6, if you have it, then you can open the book of Psalms and we can read together. In Psalms 40, verse 6, you do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You have prepared ears for me. You do not require burnt offerings and sin offering. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written concerning me. I delight in doing your will, O my God. Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. We see what's in Hebrews chapter 10 was already in Psalm chapter 40. So in chapter 40, there was the prophecy. And in Hebrews chapter 10, there was the fulfillment. There was a fulfillment. So in Hebrews chapter 10, you read it, we will see that God's desire is that in verse 7, Hebrews 10, verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Verse 9, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So this verse not only mentioned concerning all the offering and the sacrifices in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus came, God provided a body for the Lord Jesus that he might be the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings. He might take away the first. Take away the first is the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, which is the sacrifice and offering of the Old Covenant, that he may establish the second, that is the New Testament sacrifices. In the New Testament, there is only one unique sacrifice God desires. That is the Lord Jesus. He is the real one, real sacrifice. He is the living sacrifice. He is the reality of all the Old Testament sacrifices. So today, you know, in the meeting here, if we are in the Old Testament, every one of us will bring lambs or animals, right? We come to worship. The Bible said we should not come empty-handed, right? So you'll be very busy, you know, here. All of us are trying to bring something. But in the New Testament, God only requires one sacrifice. That is the Lord Jesus. Wow. I realize what the Lord did for us today here to enjoy. You know, we enjoy the Lord's table so much. It's so sweet, right? The Lord is meeting all our needs, and he is so all-inclusive. But today, we can come forward to the Lord just by the Lord Jesus, one sacrifice. I just thank the Lord so much that today we are in the New Testament. We are in the New Testament. And God's provision is so rich. Okay, I want to read with you, if you have the footnotes of Psalm 40, verse 6 on. I'd like all of us to read those footnotes. Those footnotes were really, I was very much impressed. You know, reading Hebrews, I still didn't get the full picture. But reading the Psalm 40 with the book of Hebrews chapter 10, wow, it just opened up a view that through the Lord Jesus, the Lord came, not just, you know, oh, he's the Lamb of God, he came, okay. No, he came to do God's will. Now, what is God's will? I think the footnote can really help us to get into, to have the word open to us. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 40, verses 6. Psalm 40, verse 6. Let's read them first. Then we can read the verses, read the footnotes. You did not in sacrifice and offering. You have prepared ears for me. You do not require burnt offering and sin offering. Okay, if you have the footnotes, you can read 46:1. You, concerning you. The word in verses 6 through 8 is actually the word of Christ, as quoted by Paul in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. The prophecy in verses 6 through 8 is one of the greatest revelations concerning the all-inclusive Christ in the commission that God committed to Christ in his first coming through incarnation, which was to put away the animal sacrifices of the old covenant and to establish himself in his body as the sacrifice of the new covenant. This is to terminate God's Old Testament economy, initiate God's New Testament economy, in which Christ replaces all the offerings, as well as all things, all matters, and all persons. Wow. When the Lord Jesus came, we think, you know, he just fulfilled all the offerings, sacrifices. No, God wants to change the age from the old to the new. And he wants to stop all the Old Testament animal sacrifices and to have himself, Christ. Christ is God coming in the flesh to be the reality, to enact the new covenant. So in essence, Christ changed the age. Let's read on. The prophecy in verses 6 through 8 concerning Christ is the goal and destination of the revelation of Christ in Psalm 2, 8, and 16, and 22 to 24. Okay, that's good enough. Let's continue with the following, skip the paragraph, and then maybe we go on. It may be difficult to mention where to start. Let's continue. In this prophecy, Christ comes through his incarnation to terminate God's old economy and initiate God's new economy, his New Testament economy, by replacing the animal sacrifices and establishing himself as a unique sacrifice of the new covenant. As such a sacrifice, Christ is the factor that enacts New Testament economy. Universality, building up of the church as his organic body, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. Hence, Christ has changed the age for the consummating of God's new creation out of God's old creation. His changing of the age is greater than the creation of the universe mentioned in Genesis 1. I think this portion word really opened to us that what Christ came to fulfill the prophecy in Psalm 40 is such a great matter to bring in God's New Testament economy and enact the new covenant and to have himself as the centrality and the universality. To replace not just the sacrifices and offerings, but also all things, all matters, and all persons. Wow, it's just when I read this part, you know, this morning we should not have anything else. This morning we should have only Christ, only Christ. There were two references concerning this matter of Christ as everything. That is in Matthew chapter 17. You know, when the Lord brought the three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration, and eventually they see Jesus only. That's what God wants. God wants the only Christ is his delight. And he wants all of us to have Christ only. So this is very precious. And also in Colossians, he mentioned that in the new man, the new creation, Christ is all and in all. I'm just so thankful for this portion of the word. The other part was concerning, in Hebrews, it mentioned that a body you have prepared for me. In the literally in Psalm, it mentioned that it was not. If maybe we can read footnote 6:3, prepared concerning prepared. If you have it, then prepare. Let's read. Yeah. Bore my ears. This was quoted by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 10:5, as body you have prepared for me. The boring of the slave's ears indicates that the master required the slave's obedience. It signifies that God requires the obedience of Christ, who in his humanity was God's slave. This obedience spoken by Paul in Philippians 2:8 was for him to do the will of God by being the sacrifice and the offering in his crucifixion in the flesh, the body. Based on this, in which Christ offered himself to God as the sacrifice and the offering to replace the sacrifice and the offering of animals in the Old Testament. So I feel this portion is very precious, and the way Paul interpreted, you know, in Psalm was concerning the ears, but Paul interpreted Christ, God has prepared for Christ a body, in order that he may be the slave listening to the Father and doing the Father's will, and to accomplish the redemption, and to replace all the Old Testament types, and having himself as everything, as the center, so that the body, the church may be built, and the body may be built, and eventually will consummate the New Jerusalem, and all of the old creation, that God may have the new creation. So I just feel this portion of the word is very, very precious, that the Lord has given to us, and this time we can enter into this. I just feel, you know, after this portion of the word, I just feel the way for all of us to come to the Lord. God doesn't want us to bring animal sacrifices. God delights when we come to him and confess our sins, say, Lord, I can't bring anything, but thank you for your provision. Thank you for the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, when we pray such a short prayer, God is delightful because we are bringing Christ. We are bringing Christ. Even in our contact to him, we come forward. You know, in Hebrews, it mentioned that come forward to the throne of grace, which is, the Holy of Holies, only high priest, once a year. But here he just tells us we need to come forward with boldness through a new and living way to come to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and find grace for our timely help. Our high priest, he is waiting for us. Even he is interceding for us. And he is ministering himself to us. So I'm just so thankful that today we are in the New Testament. And God's provision is so rich, so available, that we all day by day can enjoy under the new covenant that God is our portion. The hymn we sang, what Christ is meets our every need. So praise the Lord for such a Christ we have. So Brother Peter will share. Maybe what divide into the language groups, and we can sing hymn 11:30, and then we can open up. I think this is such a rich portion of the word. We can have more sense sharing with us and enjoy what a Christ we have.
Amen.
And meeting our every need.